good to have with us tonight, Josh Greer, back from school. Come on up here, Josh. And I'm really proud of Josh. He's Naval Academy, went on missions trip, heading to Israel here in the spring. And Lord's got his hand on him. It's interesting to see what the Lord's doing with his life. And I've asked him to come tonight and speak for us and give us an update of what happened this summer. Several of us supported him and prayed for him this summer from his missions trip. And I've been interested in seeing what happened. So I saw parts of this in Sunday school when you were here, but it's going to be good. So you just take your time, and thank you. Here's the clicker. There you go.
Yeah, so while I was in Uganda, I had the privilege of delivering a number of few sermons while I was over there. And in the great oral tradition of my father, for the first sermon, I thought I'd try to open up with a joke, right? So, and the thing that's important to note is that while we went over there, we were always speaking through translators, right? Because there's over 50 different tribal languages in this Central African country of Uganda. And each language is only interpretable to the others or understandable by the other language groups to like the tune of 40 to 50%. So in each different region we went, we had to have a different translator. So I was honestly grasping for straws as to find a way to relate to these people. So I decided that I would try to make a joke about Ugandan traffic because it is terrifying. Like, there are very few times I've ever been scared for my life, but trying to navigate through third world traffic is horrifying. So I went up there on stage and I said, brothers and sisters in Christ, I just want to say that you people have already been ministering to me because my prayer life has never been more fervent than in Ugandan traffic. And although I meant it as a joke, I don't know what was said in translation, but it was not communicated as such. And the people automatically started jumping up and praising God because somehow this foreigner was moved to prayer by Ugandan traffic. So hopefully that joke went over a little bit better than that one did, but I just want to start out by saying thanks to everyone who supported, whether financially or through prayers. And the purpose of this presentation tonight is not to prove how spiritual I am, but to give glory to God through the way that he worked through our team and the way that he ministered to us and how we ministered to the Ugandan people while we were there, all through his power. But before I begin, I'd just like to open us up in a word of prayer. So, our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity to share my experience in this country of Uganda, Father. I pray that you would just empower me by the Holy Spirit, Father, to speak in the demonstration of your power. to not come with words of wisdom, but just to come before these people in the faith that you are able and that you are able to speak through me. So I ask that you do that tonight. we just ask these things for your name. Amen. So as most of you know, as you well may know, I go to the Naval Academy. I'm a junior there this year. When I arrived there, I fell into I got involved with this Christian group on the yard called the Navigators, right? And the director of Navigators at the Academy, Ron Kohler, this man pictured right here, before he came to the Academy as the director of the NAVS Fellowship there, he was actually a missionary to Uganda for over a decade. And every other year or so, he takes a team back with him to this country for an authentic missions trip. You know, it wasn't through any specific, it was sponsored by the Navigators, but there was no set mission group or organization that organized it. It was all his doing. So he publicized this trip, about 15 or so fellow midshipmen came forward and wanted to participate in this missions trip. So over the course of about 6 months, we met regularly every week to prepare ourselves for this experience. Accompanying us was actually captain, Navy captain on the yard. His name is Captain Carr. He is actually the officer representative for the Navigators, so he was our military, kind of like our military liaison officer for the missions trip, just to interface between us and the academy and the embassy in Uganda. So pictured here is the national flag of Uganda, and this here is all the Americans that went. Obviously, most are midshipmen like me. And when we flew to Chicago to fly to Belgium, which then took us to Uganda, we picked up another member. Her name was Heidi. She's actually a retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel who was a missionary kid and accompanied us on the way as well. So when we got over there, the team was split into two. The team was split into two parts. One under the leadership of Ron Kohler, the other of Captain Carr. I fell into Ron's team, and this was the group that I spent most of my time with. Picture, I'm obviously right there. That's Heidi, Mary Hess, Natalie Shire, Thea Beltran, Abby McCormick, Sarah St. John, and Chipo here is actually a native Ugandan. His dad was one of Ron Kohler's spiritual children while he served there. And Chipo's dad, Edward, wanted him to accompany us on this trip. So Chipo really helped us out, was a wealth of information and cultural expertise. And he also spoke the language, so that was also really awesome. And then finally, we have Kara here, who actually graduated and is going to be a submariner. So we flew in on the 31st, we flew in on the 30th, actually. The 31st was our first day of actual mission work. And the first thing we did was all of the team members held a big conference for the Navigators team in Uganda. So in the capital city of Kampala, and that was really awesome to participate with and just to see how God is at work through the Navigators there. And then that evening, we went to a performance that encapsulates the culture of Uganda through dance. So we went to this big outdoor stadium, and these Ugandans come in banging drums on their heads, and like that's actually a picture of them kicking the drum, which is something that they did during the performance too. So, and 3 hours later, we were still there. So it was about an hour and a half of music. It was about an hour and a half longer than what I would have liked, but still an awesome experience. And then on the 1st and 2nd of June, we held a Bible conference at this little church in Kampala. That's where I had the opportunity to deliver one of my sermons. Ron and I would rotate speaking, and some of the girls would either take care of all the kids, as you can see in this picture, or perform ministry of music, and it was really awesome. The next day, the 2nd, was actually a Sunday. And all the Ugandan pastors that were in attendance of this Bible conference wanted an American to come to their church to either sing, to deliver a sermon. So the very next day in the morning, we all split off and went to different churches around the capital city. And in the evening, we continued the Bible conference. And it was really cool because while we were there, we always stayed with the people, their hosts that volunteered to support us. And while we were there, you know, we stayed in places that could have been featured, like on the front page of a National Geographic magazine, like thatch roofs. Kampala, there, in some of the more rural areas where we were, there's a lot more shantier living, so it was definitely an experience, but one that I wouldn't trade for the world. And this picture I thought was pretty cool. This is actually where Ron spoke that Sunday, and as you can tell, there's just a two head of cattle just grazing outside the church, which is something you don't really see here in America. You know, you'd be driving through the city, and just a herd of cattle would just come walking through one of the intersections. So, you know, it's one of those moments where you're not in Kansas anymore. So after the morning of the third, we then drove to a city called Mukono. And at Mukono, there's a university called Ugandan Christian University. And while we were there, we ministered with the NAV staff by going doing door-to-door evangelism. Even at a Christian university, it seemed like there was a lot of misunderstanding about God's word and this pervasive sense of just being okay without. Just being okay in your faith without actually placing your salvation upon Christ. And Uganda is a country that's 85% in which 85% of the population claims to be Christians, but of those 85%, the vast majority don't live lives that reflect that. And they also, especially in the more rural parts of the country, they practice like a syncretism between Christianity and worship of the local gods and whatnot. So to a lot of the more rural Ugandans, Jesus is just another god to please among their ancestors or local deities. But all that is to say, we did some door-to-door evangelism here. The morning of the 4th, I had the privilege of leading a devotional there as pictured with our team members. Joining us there also were some Ugandan pastors that followed us around and ministered with us, and it was really awesome to get to meet them and to share experiences with them and just to see how God is at work through them and in their bodies, in the bodies that they minister to. Picture on the top left-hand corner, this man right here, his name is Samson. He's actually an Anglican reverend who hosted Ron and I while we were there at in Mukono, and he and his wife took very good care of us while we were there. I don't know if it's kind of hard to see, but the shirt he gave me, that shirt, and the design is like is a pattern of like a black hand clasping a white hand. And he said that was a symbol of our friendship. So I thought that was really, really awesome gesture. And then over here, while we were at Uganda Christian University, we also hosted a meeting for the students at Uganda. All the students who participate in the NABS club there. So we had a privilege of leading service while we were in Mukono, and we got to meet a lot of the students and hang out with them. You know, we played a game of basketball with them. It was just really awesome just to fellowship with them while we were there. So after we left Mukono, we went to a safari lodge just to kind of recuperate and to experience the African countryside and safari. Pictured in this bottom right-hand corner, that is Murchison Falls, which is a very popular and famous waterfall there at the Para Lodge Park. So we took some pictures next to it. And on the 7th, we actually went on a safari, like a legitimate safari. So those are some of the pictures taken. That is me taking a selfie with the giraffe. Chipo and I got really close during our time at the safari. And this is our group posing for a picture. At Para Lodge, we actually reunited with the team under the leadership of Captain Carr. It's hard to tell, but in the background, there are actually hippos. Chilling out, enjoying the day. Later that afternoon, we actually went on a river tour, and we came across this group of hippos, and apparently, there was a mother that had just given birth, so she and her calf were like laying in the grass, and like all the hippos like formed a ring of protection around them. So it was pretty cool to see that. So after Parla, we went to this town called Bulisa. And when you picture like an African, like a rural African village out in the middle of nowhere, like this is like what comes to mind. Pictured in this bottom left-hand corner, that's like one of their, that was like the homes that we, that's an example of some of the homes that we stayed in, mud walls, thatch roofs. And while we were there, when we arrived there on the 8th, we put on a Bible conference, and as soon as we arrived, there are several people that came to us, you know, wanting to accept Christ, you know, as their Savior. So I'm there with Ron and Captain Carr. Ron's beside me over here. Captain Carr is right there. And we're watching as this Ugandan pastor is leading them to Christ, and then he looks over us, and he's like, you have to say something. And I was like, I do? He's like, yes, you must say something to them. So each of every time someone wanted to accept Jesus, they would, these pastors would make us, would make us speak. And that was really awesome to participate in that. There are also a lot of children that we played with. That was also really fun. They're really funny. We played a lot of soccer, and this picture is kind of cool because Mary, one of my teammates, asked me to take her picture with the kids. I don't know if you can tell, but that's her right there because they were all calm, sitting down, and she was there, and I go to take a picture with my phone. Then all of a sudden, they all jump up and go crazy, so she gets kind of blotted out of the picture. But that evening, we spent the night in Bulisa. I had the privilege of staying with a pastor, a local pastor, and another missionary, a Ugandan missionary who accompanied our team. His name was Dennis, and over the course of the 2 days, we grew really close together, and that was really awesome. But that night that we stayed there, there was a torrential downpour that snapped a six-month drought in the region, and as a result, there was a seasonal river that swept through that hadn't been there in over 60 years. And as a result of the river, it destroyed like the main road leading into the village, claimed a third of the village cattle, and took out like 70 of the people's homes. So I wake up the next morning, and I walk back to the church where we would continue our Bible conference. And there's this huge river blocking the way that the previous day had not been there. So I had to ford a river just to get back to the conference. And simultaneously, while this is happening, Ron and our bus driver named Dan, believe it or not, was also staying on the other side of this river, right? And our bus driver has the bright idea of trying to drive our bus through this like river. So he does that and proceeds to get it stuck in the middle of this river. And at that point, an entire village mobilized to try to push this white person's van out of the river. And while this was going on, there was a little girl from the village who wandered out to see what was going on and stepped on an anthill and drowned in this little lake right here while all this was happening. So at that point, some executive decisions were made to pull out from Bulisa before we had intended to. We were supposed to go evangelizing the countryside the next day, and then go to a baptismal service on Lake Albert on the 10th. But decisions were made above my pay grade that I still strongly disagree with. So we withdrew from that village after that rainstorm swept through. But it was still an incredible experience. And pictured above is actually that river that I was talking about. So it was definitely a unique experience. You know, in the U.S., you never really get to see like true poverty, true destruction. So that was like my first experience with anything like that. So it was something I will never forget. So after After Bulisa, we went to this little town called Iganga. And in Iganga, one of Ron Kohler's old mission buddies, his Uncle Paul and Aunt Rubina, they run a recreational center / church out of their backyard, where they take people who are down and out in the communities and put them to work, give them a place to stay in exchange for working around his home. So while we were in Iganga, we helped them build a building. Apparently, we were told that was going to be an outhouse. I don't know if that's true or if it was just the Ugandans messing with us, but we helped them construct this this little structure. And it was really cool because before we started, none of that was filled with dirt. But after we worked on it for a couple of days, you know, it was pretty cool to watch us make progress on it. And while we were in Iganga, we also had the privilege of going rafting down the Nile River. So that was really awesome. The Nile actually has some really awesome rapids, class 4, class 3, some class 4s and class 3s. So that was really awesome to do. Pictured here is me kind of chilling during one of the more docile parts of the river. So that was a really neat experience. And pictured here, again, is the team taking a picture with Uncle Paul and Aunt Roberta. Uncle Paul is a really cool story because he ran this recreational center a bit covertly during the rule of Idi Amin, who was the radical Muslim president of Uganda just before Ron actually got to the country, who severely persecuted the church in Uganda. So it was really interesting to hear his story, and he took care of us very well while we were there. So the next day, both teams reunited at the equator. And this picture here was for me taken in between severe bouts of vomiting, because apparently I had ingested too much of the Nile River water the day before. So I was just miserable that entire day. I distinctly remember stepping off the bus, walking over to take this picture, and then just going back to lie down because it was just so, I just felt so bad. But it was pretty cool just to take a picture there at the equator, and there's a lot of little shops, which was pretty neat. And after after we took our pictures there at Musaka, we went to the house / church of Pastor Ephraim and his wife. I actually had the privilege of speaking at his church earlier on June 2nd when we were all dispersed among the various churches, some various churches in Kampala. I really wasn't able to fellowship much because I was bedridden the entire time, and I actually ended up in a Ugandan hospital by that evening. So luckily it was, they just stuck some IV fluids in me, and I was good to go. So that was not very fun, but I have a lot of respect for that man and his passion for Christ, and it was really awesome to preach at his church. So I would be remiss if I didn't discuss some of the things that I believe that God was really teaching me over the course of my time in Uganda. The first of which is trust in the power of God's word. Isaiah 55:11-12 reads, "For as the rain comes down and snow from heaven, but does not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and bud, that it might give bread to the eater and seed to the sower, so shall be the word that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." And while we were there, we really had to rely on that promise from Isaiah, because a lot of the different churches, you know, we were speaking through translators. And at one point, you know, after a couple of just totally flubbed translations where we would go to a church and then we would walk up and go and try to speak, but our translators couldn't understand our American accents, so then we had to have another translator come up but speak in a different language that wasn't understood by the local people. So I became frustrated and actually asked one of the pastors if we were actually, you know, ministering to these people in any marketed way. And he said, I won't forget what he said. He said, your presence here is a ministry in and of itself. And that kind of led me to the realization that that the Holy Spirit is the one to the Holy Spirit is the one speaking through us, you know, not ourselves. So trusting in the power of God's word not to return void was something that we relied on while we were there. And to illustrate this truth, in Belisa, I actually had the opportunity to I had an opportunity to deliver an evangelical message to a group of prison inmates at a regional prison there in Belisa. So while we arrive, you know, I walk in front of this group of about 50 men with a couple women. And in front of the men, and in front of these inmates are their children, right, who don't have any other place to go, so they stay at the prison with their parents. And, you know, I'm standing up there delivering this message. I had actually prepared a different message coming out of Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, which states that, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us set aside every weight which so easily besets us, and let us run the race with let us run the race that is set before us with endurance, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him took up the cross, despised the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. And I had a totally different message prepared for that, but about 10 minutes prior, I looked over at Ron and I said, Ron, I'm not sure this message is really applicable to a group of prison inmates. And he was like, should I speak from the same passage? And he looks at me and he says, if you can make it evangelical. So, about 10 minutes before I was slotted to speak, I believe that the Holy Spirit actually revealed a different message for me to deliver in that time. And kind of going off the cusp, I spoke for about half an hour, and after I was finished, about 21 inmates came forward to pray the sinner's prayer. And that's not, I don't say that to, you know, applaud myself or my efforts, but I totally placed that on God's shoulders and just how he was able to use me. Just to confirm, you know, their salvation, after I sat down, a different Ugandan pastor came forward and made them pray the sinner's prayer again. So they were double saved that day. The second point is be available and responsive to where God is at work around you. The verse I used for this that God really impressed upon my heart over the course of that week was 1 Peter 3:15, which says that, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be always ready to give everyone who asks a reason for the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. And while we were rafting down the Nile during one of the more docile sections, I felt that God was kind of pushing me to talk to one of the river guides, you know, about my faith in Jesus. So I did, and I talked to, his name was Paul, and Paul was telling me about how he was a Catholic and just was asking me the difference between what they call born-again Christians and Catholics. And then some more rapids came, and we had to split apart. He's like, but before he left, he looked at me and he said, we will continue this conversation after the rapids are over. And I just thought that he just said that to be kind. But we finished the day, and we're returning our gear. And out of nowhere, Paul comes and grabs me by the shoulder and says, Pastor, Pastor. And I'm like, Paul, I'm not a pastor. It's like, you come preaching the word to us. You are a pastor. So he grabs me by the shoulder and pulls me to this little pavilion where all the river guides that accompanied us on that day were assembled. And he presents me to his buddies and he says, this is a pastor from America who has come to tell us about Jesus. So tell us about Jesus. So I had the opportunity to share the gospel with about 20 Ugandan river guides. And I thought that was really cool because, I felt kind of unsure about, going rafting and having doing all these recreational activities while we were supposed to be there doing mission work. But it was really awesome to see God work through a situation that hadn't been planned, that was totally off the cuff and something that only he can do in his providence. Also, one of the lasting impressions that the Ugandans left on me was just their passion for Christ and the contentment they have in serving him. They don't have a lot of material possessions, even the more wealthier Ugandans by our standards. They aren't rich. So it was just so awesome to see how the emphasis they placed on fellowship with each other and communion with God, because they don't have as many things distracting them in their society. And they're so materially dependent. Not materially dependent, but they lack so much resources that they have to constantly place their faith in God as a provider. So it was really to see the joy they have in serving the Lord. John 15:10-11 talks about how if we abide in Christ's love, that our joy will be full in Him. And while I was there in Uganda, that's something I really experienced and witnessed. I'll never forget one thing that Pastor Ephraim said. When I was at his church after the sermon was over, we broke bread together, and he looked at me and said, like, our church, we may not have a lot of instruments, but we use our hands to praise God. And I thought that was just so powerful and such a testimony to their faithfulness. And that man wasn't kidding when he said it. I don't know how he did it, but whenever he clapped, it's like two garbage cans were like banging together. It was insane. But and lastly, another one of the themes of the trip was the fact that Jesus is worth it. And that sounds a little trite, but I think it's something that's really lost in our society when we tend to prioritize material possessions, success, to the extent that we kind of live in this I guess we live in this desire to establish our kingdoms on earth, whereas while we were over there, the team and I discovered that there was no greater joy than serving the Lord and just watching Him work through in us and around us. While we were over there, I don't make the claim that, like Paul in Philippians 3:8 says, that we lost all things for the sake of Christ, but we were uncomfortable a lot of the times. When we split up in Kampala to go to different churches, I was driven over half an hour by two people I had never met in my life to this little church in the middle of nowhere, to people that I don't really know very well. And the other girls on our team in Chipo had a similar experience. And that wasn't really enjoyable at times. And if the embassy found out that we were doing that, they probably wouldn't have approved either. But upon actually doing the work that was made available to us, that statement was really proved true, that Jesus is worth it. And lastly, this is kind of like a life maxim. It's not really spiritual in a sense, but take all government-issued prophylactics as prescribed. So this is a picture of me back in America in the hospital while I was suffering from malaria. When I came back to the States, I didn't complete the prophylactic medication. So after reform at the academy, I was rushed to a hospital where I was diagnosed with malaria. And thankfully, everyone, the doctors were really gracious. Everyone took care of me. The picture is actually taken by one of my one of the buddies from my company at the academy who accompanied me to the hospital. Since then, I made a full recovery. And it's weird, but these days, with the advance in modern medicine, malaria is not nearly as deadly as what it used to be. They killed the parasite within my system within 3 to 4 days. Just because you just take an antibiotic and it kills the parasite relatively quickly. And even though malaria is not an experience I would wish on my worst enemies, they caught it pretty early, so I was never in I wasn't in severe danger when they caught it. So Pastor also asked me to speak about Israel, the opportunity I had to study abroad there. Pictured on top is actually Israel and Hebrew. This is kind of an interesting journey because this I was actually denied this opportunity twice before I was actually able to go. This was first marketed to midshipmen the spring semester of last academic year. And I applied for it then and was denied. And during the fall of this year, they actually brought in the program to allow 4 midshipmen to study abroad at the Israeli Naval Academy and not 2. So I reapplied and was then again denied to study abroad at the Israeli Naval Academy. But I was named an alternate. And a couple weeks later, it turns out the guy in front of me got in severe conduct trouble with the academy, so I was able to take his place, next Saturday I'll actually be leaving for the Holy Land for an opportunity to study abroad there at the Israeli Naval Academy. And it's really cool to see God's hand at work through this opportunity, because earlier in the year my pastor actually came back from a 2-week-long mission trip / sabbatical to the same region that I'll be in. Like, he actually ate like lunch at a restaurant like overlooking the Israeli Naval Academy. And he has actually provided me with some contacts in the country. And apparently there are a lot of Bible-believing churches in Haifa, which is the city that I'll be going to. Their academy is structured a little bit different than ours. I'm really excited to have that opportunity just to study there, and just to see where God is at work with his chosen people. This picture right here is where I'll be studying. That's Haifa, the city. A picture below here is Jerusalem. It's the Sea of Galilee and, of course, the flag of Israel. So I'm just really excited to have that opportunity. My goal is just to be able to transliterate the Old Testament after I come back, just to perfect my understanding of the Hebrew alphabet, because an alphabet with no vowels is difficult to understand and learn. So I'm just really super excited for that opportunity, and I'll actually be taking academic courses on top of Mount Carmel, the place where Elijah confronted the priest of Baal during the reign of King Ahab. So a really interesting opportunity. And lastly, I just wanted to thank everyone for supporting me and being, whether it's, like I said, through prayers or finances. That mission trip was an experience I won't soon forget. Pictured here is what they call Prayer Mountain. In Mukono, we had the opportunity to go on top of this mountain to pray and just to spend some time with God, and that was such a cool opportunity. Here we are traveling, and we're making a Ugandan pit stop in a sugarcane field, and then up here is pictured an outhouse for pastors only, which I thought was pretty unique. So that pretty much concludes the presentation. It's the highlights of what God did through us and just the opportunity I have to study abroad in Israel soon. Again, I'm really thankful for that opportunity, for the opportunity to go to Uganda and also to go to Israel for 4.5 months. So I just wanted to thank you guys for your support along the way. And I'll close us in prayer real fast. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that you intend to use us and that you delight in using your people. And also that you are faithful to use those who faithfully seek you, Father. God, help us just to place our full confidence in your will. And I ask that in the months and weeks ahead, you just help us to know you better, Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you for all that you do for us and for loving us and blessing us with so much. For it is in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Josh. Let's keep our heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's do our Sunday evening prayer time. And Gretchen's going to play just a